Hello, this is Amy Lansky recording There's Hope with Homeopathy. This is my first program, so I hope all of you can hear me. I'm just learning how to use this system. My name is Amy Lansky, I said, and I'm recording live from Portola Valley, California, which is in the Bay Area, just near Stanford University. This show is on every third Friday of the month, from 2 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I hope you'll all tune in on a regular basis. As the title implies, the focus of this show is about homeopathic treatment of autism, and it's a subject I know a lot about because my own son, Max, was cured of autism with homeopathy. So really there's multi-part purpose of this show, or focus of this show. The first one is to really introduce the autism community to homeopathy and to let them know how great a potential homeopathy has to treat and even cure autism. And I know this for a fact because not only my son has been helped, but many others as well. And I'm going to be reading a few testimonials to that during this show, during this first show. The second part, second goal of this show is to teach you more about homeopathy in general, and in fact, its potential to cure a wide variety of chronic diseases and also acute ailments and even epidemics. So homeopathy has a lot to offer people when they worry about the flu or even more serious epidemics, and has a proven track record over the past 200 years in doing that. For this same reason, homeopathy is really provides an important alternative to the use of vaccines in acute disease. And in fact, it has a historical record of being able to heal vaccine damage, which is one of the reasons why homeopathy is very important and has the potential to cure autism. Because as we know, many, if not most, of the autistic kids in the world became that way due to vaccine damage. So first let me just say that if I'm actually at my computer as well, and so if any of you out there would like to send me an email, maybe I'll be able to respond to it on this show. And in fact, you can send me an email anytime. I'll try to respond to your questions. You can send me an email at alansky, Alansky, at autismone.org. So I'm going to be monitoring my email during this show, and hopefully I'll be able to respond to questions. Well, one of the reasons why actually the Autism One folks asked me to do this show is that I've written a book that's become fairly well known about homeopathy in general and about the cure of my son Max in particular. The name of the book is Impossible Cure: The Promise of Homeopathy. So this book includes the story, a whole chapter about the experience of my family and the story of how my son was cured of autism. But it's also a general introduction to classical homeopathy. And in fact, so much so that it is now being used as a textbook at several homeopathic programs. But its primary use is for the general public, and many homeopathic practitioners use it as a patient education book. It covers the history of homeopathy in the United States, a very comprehensive introduction to the philosophy of homeopathy, also an extensive chapter on scientific studies that not only prove that homeopathy is effective, but also provides hints at how it can work, how it's working from a scientific point of view. But the thing that's probably making Impossible Cure so popular, in fact, it has become one of the best-selling books on homeopathy in the country. The thing that really gets people excited about the book is that there are many first-person cure stories in the book, not just the story about my son, but first-person experiences of many people for a variety of diseases, ranging from the autism, of course, to Alzheimer's, to chronic bladder infections, anxiety disorder, many, many stories in this book, first-person stories. The book has also been endorsed by some important people in the autism world, including Bernard Rimland of the Autism Research Institute. And many of the homeopaths, especially those who treat autistic kids, really have it as required reading, because if you do decide to pursue homeopathic treatment for your child, it's really, really important that you understand what it's all about, because the process is going to be slow in most cases, and really requires your input and your understanding. And actually, I really recommend that if you plan on listening to the show on a regular basis, that you buy the book, because this book will be a prime focus of the show, and the content in the book. So you'll really understand what I'm talking about more if you buy and read this book. And you can find out more about how to order it if you go to my website, which is impossiblecure.com. There you'll find out how to order through Amazon online, or there's phone numbers to call to order the book from homeopathic booksellers. So I also wanted to mention, I'm on the board of the National Center for Homeopathy, and I do recommend that all of you who are interested in homeopathy join that organization. Their URL is homeopathic.org, and which is homeopathic.org. If you do join the National Center, and I believe the dues are something like $55 a year, you also get a monthly, well, now it's six times a year, magazine called Homeopathy Today, which is really an invaluable resource to parents about how they can even do some forms of home treatment with homeopathy. So let me begin now with an introduction of just tell you what I plan to cover on this show during the course of the year. Today's focus, I'm just going to introduce homeopathy, and I'm going to actually read some stories of people besides myself who've had success in treating their autistic kids with homeopathy. And I'm going to just say a few words about some key features about treatment of autism. And then the rest, if there's any time remaining, then I will start telling you more detail about the story about my own family, my own son. That story will be the primary focus of my next show, which is on February 18th. But over the course of the year, I hope to cover, an introduction to homeopathy in general. When I say homeopathy, I mean classical homeopathic treatment. What the philosophy is, so that you can understand how homeopaths view disease and cure, and what they're trying to achieve and what they're looking for. Then I'm going to move on to discussing homeopathic treatment of autism in particular, and in doing so, I hope to interview several homeopaths in the country who, while most homeopaths are general practitioners, but these people, a large proportion of their practice is treating autistic kids. And one of them is the homeopath who treated my own son, John Melnichuk, here in Palo Alto. So I hope to have these people as guests on my show so they can talk, you can hear what they have to say as well. Another focus of the show is to discuss various concerns that interact between a homeopathic treatment and autism. For example, many of you out there with autistic children are using a wide variety of other treatments to help your child. Some of these will work fine and are helpful during homeopathic treatment, but there are some that actually can interfere with homeopathic treatment, so we'll be discussing that. Also discussing the various methods of treatment and even some of the remedies that homeopaths use. But as I'll mention later, homeopathic treatment of autism should be and usually is individualized to the needs of the characteristics of each specific child. So that what that means is that each child may receive a completely different remedy than another autistic child. So when you hear about cures, let's say, of my son or another child, that remedy may not be the one that's appropriate for your child. It all depends. Other things we'll be discussing is factors that help determine success. This is a very important topic, especially when I talk to homeopaths that treat children with autism. They have found that certain families, they've been more successful with certain families than others. And so it's really important to understand how you can optimize the success your child might have with homeopathic treatment. I also hope to have some interviews with parents and even children who've been through this process. At one point, I hope to have interview my son Max on the show, and also other moms and dads of children who've undergone a homeopathic treatment. So, and also at some point, I hope to also discuss other cure stories too, even for other ailments. So I think it's really important and helpful for the parents of autistic children to also be treated homeopathically. It helps them understand the process and helps them become healthier. And when they become healthier, they can help their child recover too. So let's see what else. I also want to mention that this is just, I don't know if this is relevant to many of you, but Impossible Cure, my book, is also being translated into German this year and will be published by Random House Germany this summer, supposedly will appear. So those of you who know people in Germany who might be interested, you can let them know that. Okay. Let's see. I think the next thing I want to do is just discuss what is homeopathy. And a lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings about what homeopathy is. And often when I give talks about this, I start with what homeopathy is not. The general press tends to use the term homeopathy as some kind of catch-all term for natural medicine. And homeopathy is a form of natural medicine, but it is not just a general term for natural medicine, nor is it, it is not herbalism, the use of plant tinctures. So it is also not that. I mean, many homeopathic remedies are made from plants, but homeopathic remedies are made also from other substances in nature, including animals, minerals, and even disease products, etc. And homeopathic remedies are never in tincture form. In the actual form, they're highly diluted, which is what makes homeopathy very controversial. So it is not herbalism, which is the use of an actual plant tincture, nor is homeopathy a specific diet or the use of nutritional supplements. So it is none of those things. It is a specific, distinct form of medicine that is actually capable of treating the full spectrum of physical, emotional, and mental conditions. And it's been used that way for over 200 years. It was developed in Germany, so it's a Western form of medicine, in the early 1800s by a man named Samuel Hahnemann. He was a doctor, a very brilliant doctor. And since that time, it spread all over the world. To the United States. In fact, homeopathy was very, very prominent in the United States through the second half of the 1800s and into the early 1900s. And I'll have a whole show discussing the history of homeopathy in this country. And it spread all over the rest of the world, too, all over Europe, of course. In India, it's a major form of medicine. There's medical schools and hospitals, homeopathic medical schools and hospitals. Pakistan, it's all over South and Central America. And of course, in the English-speaking countries too. England, America, now increasingly Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And many of you might know, I don't know if you do, that the British royal family have used homeopathy forever, for a long, long time. We like to think, the homeopathic community likes to think that's why the Queen Mother has lived so long. So, and it's so accepted in most of the countries of the world that many of them have integrated it into their national healthcare system. So what, now that I've told you a little bit about that, so what is it anyway? Well, the word homeopathy means similar suffering. Homeo means similar, pathy means suffering. And the reason it's called homeopathy or homeopathy is that its treatment is based on something called the law of similars. And what this law does is it states, given if a person has a particular set of symptoms, there's a specific law that determines what medicine will be chosen for those to treat those symptoms. In fact, this law defines what homeopathy is. It's immutable. So that means that if a medicine was used for a particular ailment back in the 1800s, it's still used for those same ailments because the law of similar still holds. And what this law states is that if a substance, some substance, can cause symptoms in a healthy person, and those symptoms are similar to the symptoms that a person with disease is experiencing, then it can be prepared in a specific way so that it can cure those symptoms. So, for example, many of us know that if you give a child syrup of Ipecac, it's used to make them vomit. Well, it just so turns out, so Ipecac creates nausea and vomiting in a healthy person. But the substance Ipecac can be prepared in this homeopathic fashion, which I'll describe, not today, but it's highly diluted in a certain way so that it can actually cure nausea and vomiting. And in fact, it's an important remedy for the treatment of chronic nausea, for example, like the type that people experience during a pregnancy. So that just gives you a little hint at what it's all about. But what's most important that you understand right now is that it's not used in a this for that way. So even though Ipecac could be the right remedy if you're feeling nauseous, it may not be because there's many other homeopathic remedies that are associated with nausea. What's important is that the remedy match you overall, all of your symptoms. So not just your nausea, but also what your personality is like, what your emotional state is, what your mental state is, and all your other physical symptoms. You know, if you have headaches or gastrointestinal problems or skin problems, anything. So what a homeopath does is they learn all about you. And in fact, the more specific the symptom, the better, and the more peculiar, the better. So a homeopath wants to know, are you, if you have any particular fears, or what you dream about, or what you like to eat. And all of that information is used to find a remedy that matches all those symptoms. And if you're lucky, the homeopath will find what we call the similimum, the most similar remedy to you overall. And according to the law of similars and the experience of homeopaths for 200 years, that remedy can cure you of all your symptoms, holistically, your whole self. Now, as far as, let's get into talking about autism. In my experience, many of the alternative therapies out there can help children, and sometimes quite dramatically. But in general, for example, the various diets and regimens have to be maintained. And from a homeopathic standpoint, that's helpful, but they're not really curing the person if those things have to be maintained, if a diet has to be maintained. The goal of a homeopath is actually to cure a person, even if it takes many years, but to cure a person so that they no longer are restricted in this way. And I can say that my son has achieved this over the course of many years. And most of that cure took place in the first couple years. However, homeopathic treatment of autism can be slow and tricky. Really, the most important thing that patients have to remember is that it requires patience. But cure is possible in many cases, especially if treatment is begun early. But even so, I've been talking to interviewing homeopaths who treat autistic kids, and they are achieving some really good results also with older autistic children. So even if your child is a bit older, you should definitely try. In fact, some of these homeopaths who treat autistic kids have been having really dramatic improvement in at least 50 in even 75% of their cases. So I consider it to be one of the most important therapies for autistic kids, potentially curative. And I really think the autism community only now is beginning to really discover it. And if you want, by the way, a good place to look for more information on this is on the Impossible Cure website. If you go there at impossiblecure.com, and on the left-hand side, there's some buttons, and there's one on autism. I recommend reading that. And there's also on that page some referral lists to look for a classical homeopath. Okay, let's see. Well, let me just, before I read a couple of these cure stories, I still have 10 minutes here. Let me just mention a few other things. I already said some of these things, but let me reiterate that with autism treatment, it is really important. This is a difficult treatment. This is not something that somebody who a parent could do themselves. And it's not even something that an inexperienced homeopath can really do. It really requires a very experienced practitioner. And in my experience, it's most important to see a classical very highly trained classical homeopath. Second, there is no panacea remedy for autism that will cure every child. There are some remedies that are used more commonly than others because obviously they match the symptoms of autism. But often what's most important in a case are the more peculiar symptoms that are particular to a specific child. So it could be any remedy that might be the one that matches your child. And when a homeopath talks to you, there's going to be lots of factors. There's the factor of obviously vaccine damage. If you really highly suspect that a particular vaccine damaged your child or an ingredient, that will figure into the case. Also your family medical history, the diseases experienced by your family members. Even the experiences you had during gestation of your child, during childbirth, those are all important factors. And like I said, the unique characteristics of your child. And each child, although there's many common symptoms of autism, the thing that really stands out about your child would be of most interest to the homeopath who's treating your child. Now, I will be discussing over the course of the show, over the year, various methods of autism treatment in homeopathy. A couple of these are these so-called detox protocols, where the various vaccines and potency are given, or something called sequential therapy where a certain routine methodology is used. My personal experience, my personal knowledge, my personal information from talking to homeopaths and patients, and I do talk to a lot of parents and patients, is that classical treatment, it has the most potential for success. But when I say that, a classical homeopath will integrate ideas that are used by these techniques. For example, they will use, if necessary, vaccines and potency. They will use certain remedies to remove, let's say, layers or obstacles in the case that, let's say, certain use of certain drugs or whatever. But each child is individual, and it's very important, in my view, that especially an autistic child who's very sensitive, be treated in an individualized way and not be subjected or bombarded with treatments that are composed of many, many different remedies in a sort of routine protocol. In my view, this can be potentially harmful. I think because these kids are really sensitive, I think in my experience, and this is the focus of this show, that classical homeopathy, but informed by various techniques, is the way to go. And like I said, your patience is essential. That's the biggest problem, because we know how frantic us parents are in the autism community. We want our kids to be cured yesterday, but think months and years in this process, not days and weeks. You have to have patience, you have to find a good practitioner, and you have to stick with it. And one of the things, and we'll be talking about this, is that really key to success is the health of your family, how happy you are, how welcoming an environment it is for your child, that the parents are getting along, that you are healthy, because this helps your child get better. And one of the ways of achieving this is if you yourself and your whole family even undergo homeopathic treatment. And that's one of the things that homeopaths have found is helpful. Okay, so I have 5 more minutes on this show, and I'm going to read you a couple stories from moms who've written to me about the experience of their children, the success they've had with homeopathy. This first one comes from a woman in Phoenix who actually was in medical school and was very skeptical about homeopathy and has achieved a remarkable result. Okay, so I'm just going to be reading from this testimonial here. She writes, "My daughter, who is almost 4, was diagnosed last year with autism. When I asked her pediatrician what we could do, her response was, try some ABA therapy. If that doesn't work, put her in a group home." Sad, isn't that? At the time, I was also told her IQ was probably 65, so she was also mentally retarded. I could not believe the callousness of many of the physicians I encountered. I think if they don't have a quick fix for something, they can't be bothered. Anyway, to be honest, I did not believe in homeopathy. I'm a scientific person, and as a sideline, I just want to say that I am also, I have a PhD from Stanford in computer science, and I view homeopathy as one of the most scientific of medical disciplines, but we'll get into that later. Anyway, she writes, "I'm a medical student, and the infinitesimal doses of homeopathy didn't line up with what I knew, or rather, that I thought I knew about chemistry. To be honest, I was desperate, even just to hear words of kindness and the hope of cure. I had heard that homeopathy had cured Amy Lansky's son, and although I did not entirely believe it, I hoped to believe it. We took our daughter to a classical homeopath, where she was given Thuja Occidentalis." By the way, this is a remedy that is known for removing vaccine damage, but only in some cases. At the time, I don't think my husband and I really thought that she would be helped, but we were hoping. The changes in my daughter have been amazing, so much so that I can hardly believe it, and I would not blame you for disbelieving it. She has gone from not talking, staring into space, repetitive behaviors, to a daughter who is starting to talk, very affectionate, without her old behaviors. We have taken her to developmental pediatricians who tell us she is not autistic, and then ask me and her father, what happened to the old behaviors? We tell them she doesn't do it anymore. They are very confused. In addition, not only is her IQ not 65, we have been told she's very intelligent and may need schooling for gifted children. My advice to parents is never ever give up on your child. Help is out there for you. You just need to look out for yourself and your child and not listen to people who are down on the possibility of cure because they can't cure it." Okay, this last story I'm going to read, and next show I'll talk about my own experience, but I just wanted to give you other stories from other people to show that it's not just me who's been having success here. This story comes from a mom in Maine whose son is just had a remarkable response. "My son was born in July 2001, a healthy 9-pound, 10-ounce, 9-10 on the Apgar scale. The next day, he developed a small fever and jaundice. I found out later he had the Hep B vaccine without my knowledge. Despite persistent thrush and yeast rashes, my son flourished. He maintained growth in the 95th percentile, began very early babbling sounds, and began sleeping through the night. At 9 weeks old, he suffered a severe reaction to his first round of vaccines. He screamed incessantly from that moment on. He stopped sucking his thumb, stopped sleeping almost completely, developed all over body hives and eczema, severe reflux and aspirating, and his chronic yeast and thrush worsened. He ceased all babbling and plummeted from the 95th percentile to below the 5th to off the chart for weight. He stopped having bowel movements, having only 3 in 2 months in the time right after his shots. He developed food intolerances to nearly everything. He began headbanging as soon as he could crawl, at an early 5.5 months. As he got older, autistic behaviors became apparent. He also had severe food intolerances, phenylsulfotransferase deficiency, leaky gut syndrome, hypotonia, and a multitude of other issues. By July of 2002, when my son turned one, he was still off the weight charts despite eating well. He had chronic eczema, all over body hives, a weepy eye, and all the other issues. We did a strict elimination diet and found a DAN doctor who confirmed our suspicions and documented our son had high mercury, high arsenic, leaky gut, excess yeast, tetanus, titers, three times what's considered immune after just one shot, and they're supposed to receive four. While the diet helped, it wasn't until we began homeopathy in November of 2002 that we saw a huge turnaround. The first remedy I took, I was still nursing him while following the elimination diet. In other words, she took the remedy herself, and she was nursing, and was I think the homeopath hoped that it would go through her milk into the child. He made incredible gains, which she will describe later. In the summer of 2003, we gave him the first dose of the DPT, which is DPT in potency, directly with astounding results. In November of 2003, we gave the second dose, and we had our son back. My son is now completely recovered except for his food sensitivities. He must remain on the diet or he regresses. However, he has his personality back, talks above age level, tests out developmentally above age level, plays independently as well as with other children. He is a normal, happy, healthy, sweet-natured boy. And by the way, in my experience, the food allergies are like the last to go, so that often takes many years. So following is a list of before and after behaviors. Before beginning treatments, he had head banging 50 times a day, pushing his head on the carpet, licking things, walking on tiptoes, lining things up, spinning, addicted to Mozart, had never played with a toy, had never pointed, did not interact with his five-year-old sister, did not talk, did not notice his surroundings, did not respond to his name, did not communicate his wants, did not know mama or dada, did not notice other children, could not follow something pointed out, could not follow simple direction. He stared at the TV for hours without looking away, basically just wandered around the house all day, preoccupied with the phone ringing, preoccupation with his boots, severe food sensitivities, frequent congestion, rot, etc., etc. I won't even say this at all. After the treatment, this was the first remedy which she gave through her breast milk. He pointed deliberately. This is all happened within 1 month. He pointed deliberately, noticed changes in his surroundings, responded to name on the first try, played with his sister, looked at something that's pointed out to him, answered yes or no with a head nod, took a hand to lead to what he wants, called each parent by name, mama and dada, pointed to a little girl his age at a store and said hi, began to play for 1 minute at a time, reacted scared to a movie for the first time, which he had seen many times before, so he was finally noticing the movie, followed three-step commands, began drawing using different colors, and tried to emulate speech noises. After the second dose of remedy, with no other interventions, within 2 weeks, he stopped head banging, stopped spinning, he stopped pushing his head on the carpet, he wasn't stimming on certain words, he was no longer obsessed with his boots or the phone or coloring. He played with his sister independently. He engaged in pretend play. He showed an interest in books. He was able to tolerate. He had 11 words, although most in his own language. Okay. Then after the first dose of the DPT, he was successfully weaned off Pepcid. His weeping eye cleared. He started. He had 50 words and 25 signs. He knew all his colors and shapes, was very social, loved reading books, walking steadily. After the second DPT, dose of DPT with no other intervention, within 2 weeks he was potty trained, he dressed himself, he was putting three words together, he was starting to talk more than signing, he was repeating words back, repeating the entire alphabet, was consistent had consistent use of words in about in a more correct fashion. By February of 2004, and this point he's 31 months old, so about 2.5, he was using words spontaneously and appropriately, talking in full sentences. He at age-appropriate speech for his age. He had his use of self-created language diminished. He calls people by name, recognizes himself in the mirror, uses pronouns you and me appropriately, etc., etc. Really, and she's saying he was completely indistinguishable from his peers. She concludes by saying, while we did many interventions, diet, probiotic, CLO, DMG, enzymes, I believe the homeopathy played a significant role in his recovery. And we've also had much success with homeopathy for me, my husband, and my daughter. Okay, with that, I'm way out over time. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Now, let me see if I got any emails. I didn't get a single email from any of you out there, so I hope somebody's out there listening to this. But feel free to send me an email to alansky@autismone.org. Thank you. Bye.